powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
One of my favorite games that we play on this show. It is all about breaking down what's real and what's not in terms of bold predictions in this week in sports. So let's get to it. Curtis, take us to the station. It is time for Hype Train. I read you a trend, a prediction in the world of sports this week. If you're buying it, you tell me why. And if not, it's because it's nothing but a hype train. You're letting it go on by. I asked you guys, the listeners, for suggestions because I had an open slot so that I would make sure I had five hype trains. I have had so many good suggestions. I ended up taking a lot more than one. I will give credit and shout outs whenever I use one of your guys' hype trains, but there were some really good ones. And I had this one on here. I saw it as a suggestion, so I like this one. We'll start here. Tariq Woolen just set a new Seahawks franchise record for interceptions in a season. He is also tied now with Philadelphia's C.J. Gardner-Johnson for first overall in the league. Both have six picks, and it's why Tariq Woolen should be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
He better be. I understand Sauce Gardner has played against a lot of good receivers over there with the Jets, but when you leave the league as a rookie in interceptions, isn't that like your job description? Take the football out the air from the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's part of the job description, right? All right. And you know what? He's one of the best in the league at his job. So I'm on that train.
All right.
He better.
Bump is boarding. Curtis, the hype train is that Tariq Woolen should be Defensive Rookie of the Year. Are you boarding?
I think he's going to get an opportunity to get a pick on Sunday. Sam Darnold, not particularly accurate with the ball. I think he's going to get an opportunity to get a pick in Week 17 against the Jets, whether it be Mike White or Joe Flacco. I don't think it's going to be Zach Wilson starting that game. And then Week 18, he's probably going to have another opportunity, too, if Matt Stafford's not quarterbacking the Rams. I think Tariq Woolen finishes the regular season with 8 interceptions.
Ooh.
Meaning
he gets
that matches Richard Sherman's high, or did he get 9?
I think he got 8 in the season.
Wow.
But Tariq Woolen would be comfortably setting the Seahawks rookie record for interceptions in the season. So I'm going to board this train as well. I don't think the guy's done getting picks. He's going to have plenty of opportunities at the end of the season.
I am also boarding this one. Sauce Gardner is getting all the attention right now. Obviously a great start to the defense and a fantastic year for him so far with the Jets. That team has remained really competitive despite problems at quarterback. But, man, interceptions, much like sacks, are one of the flashiest stats you can have. And if people see that a guy that has, like Curtis said, let's say he gets to 8 interceptions, how do you not give it to that guy? So I am also boarding this train. All aboard the first train into the station. What's the next train? Tell you what it is. An MLB source recently told The Athletic that there will be, quote, an explosion of trades and signings over the next 3 to 10 days. That was from Corey Brock's article on the winter meetings. The hype train, it's not just that Seattle will be one of them. Shout out to listeners for co-signing on this one. The hype train is that Brian Reynolds will be a Mariner.
We spoke to Church.
Mm-hmm. Jason Churchill.
He took us to church, and he said it'd take a lot for this to happen. So because he is the expert in this situation, I'm going to church, and I'm not going to board this train.
Okay, fair. Yeah, it's not about what you want to do. It's about whether or not you think that that prediction, that train, is real or nothing but hype. The hype train is that there is going to be a lot of moves expected through the winter meetings and shortly after the winter meetings. The hype train that you're deciding to board is that one of the moves will be the Mariners adding Brian Reynolds. Bump says, as much as I want it, I can't board it. I think that the trade ask will be too rich for Seattle's blood. Curtis, are you boarding this train?
When the Mariners have their eyes set on someone for a long time, they tend to do whatever it takes to get them. We saw that with Teoscar Hernandez. We saw that with Colton Wong. That happened with Luis Castillo during the regular season. They have long sought after Brian Reynolds. And I think they get him. I think the Mariners get Brian Reynolds in a trade at some point this offseason. So I'm boarding this train. You'll have an opening day outfield of Reynolds, Julio, and Teoscar Hernandez. Who knows what your DH position looks like But I think that represents a significant step up as to what your outfield was a year ago. I think the Mariners find a way to get him, so I am boarding that train.
I'm not boarding, but I hope that of the three of us, you are right, Curtis.
Yeah,
next,
I do.
Next type train into the station. The Seattle Kraken are taking on the Canadiens tonight. And if you guys remember back to the NHL draft, we all thought Shane Wright would go first overall to the Canadiens. Instead, they passed on him, and he fell all the way to number four into the lap of the Seattle Kraken. The hype train is this. Shane Wright, who's already gotten a point in the NHL on an assist on a Ryan Donato goal, scores his first goal tonight against the team that passed over him.
I'm all about drama. Not in my life, but like in sports. I'm all about great stories. And I'm on this train because of that. It's about to go down. He's going to score his goal, and then he's going to... Are they home or away?
They're at home tonight.
Oh, I wish they're away so you can look up into that owner's suite. You know what I'm saying?
Give him a point.
Yeah, but no, I'm with Shane. Let's go. He went down to the desert, developed a little bit, four goals he got down there. Now he's back with the big boys. Let's go, Shane.
So here is the deal. That was the hype train, but Curtis, just for you, I have a separate train into the building.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Breaking news from the NFL. Baker Mayfield has indeed been claimed off of waivers by the Rams. It's not the 49ers after all.
Yeah, why don't you give me that hype train?
Because it happened while you were talking.
Gosh, dang it. Fine, I'll let you. Gets a good one.
Hype train, starting with Curtis. We will see Baker Mayfield start this upcoming week for the Rams.
This upcoming week?
This upcoming week.
I am not going to board that train. That's going to be a really quick turnaround because he's only getting there probably today.
Yeah.
You've got John Wofford, who at least knows the system.
Is injured.
True. Bryce Perkins also knows it, too. I don't think Baker gets the start right away, but I think he does get the start the remainder of games because the Rams are trying to win out so that the pick that they gave Detroit doesn't look so bad. I think that's what this is like, hey, we want to try and stack some wins here so we don't end up losing like the number four overall pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Rams, this is an odd move.
Bump.
In a season where you've completely lost everything.
Yeah. Bump, rather than whether or not you're boarding the train, we have a longer segment here. So I just want to get your reaction.
No, I don't want to react.
Okay, Bump. Okay, Curtis got first boarding. That's all. It was the news broke after your train went through the station.
He's riding first class comfort plus.
Yeah.
Hey, Group D.
Bump's got to be on standby.
D isn't delightful. Don't try to make it sound pretty. It's
Baker
Group D.
Baker Mayfield claimed off of waivers by the Rams. Bump. Are we going to see him as a regular starter there in L.A.?
Yeah, not this week, though.
You don't think this week?
Not this week.
Yeah, that's fair. That means we could see him in Seattle, though, if he actually stays healthy and continues to perform through the end of the year.
I hope we do.
Schefter explained some of the reasoning why the Rams went after him. They need a quarterback with Stafford sideline and John Wofford dealing with a neck injury. And then also here's this. If Mayfield signs elsewhere this offseason, the Rams could get back a compensatory pick.
Oh, man.
So that's probably why they went and signed him.
Next tight train into the station. This one from a listener. Bump, we'll start with you. Normally, we always would, Bump. It's
Are you
just,
sure?
just the one.
You
it's sure just
don't
want to
start
one.
With Curtis?
Next tight
train. We're going to wait for a bigger story to break.
From we'll Chris and Graham. Pac-12 goes undefeated in the bowl season.
All right, who we got, though? I need a little more information.
I know.
Okay, so we... yeah, I'm going to say
if
yeah.
you just have confidence in the Pac-12 that they can handle themselves against... the not top tier teams.
I'm going to say yes. I'm on that train. We are going to reestablish dominance in the college football world. That don't include the college football playoffs. You know, the other world after the college football playoffs. We're going to establish dominance. Pac-12, 7-0. Let's go.
Can you imagine if once again there was breaking news and it was like, all right, Seahawks have added Melvin Gordon, who, by the way, he's not a free agent anymore. Curtis, your hype train. No, Curtis, your hype train is from the listener. Pac-12 goes undefeated in the bowl season. Bump says, yeah, sure.
Let's take a look at some of the matchups.
You got
Florida at number 14, Oregon State. Win. Wazoo at Fresno State. Win. Oregon at North Carolina. Another win. Gets 7-win Sark against the Huskies. Win. Pitt at number 18 UCLA. A win. Tulane and USC. Another win. And Penn State and Utah. Another win. Yeah, they're going undefeated.
Let's go.
The Pac-12 is the higher ranked team in every single matchup except for, I think, Wazoo, Fresno State, but they're both unranked teams. So who knows in that situation? Yeah, the Pac-12 going undefeated. We're boarding this train.
I like it. I'm also boarding this train. I'm here for it. Bump, I think you made a great point earlier saying, guess who theoretically is the strongest conference? Pac-12. They get made fun of all the time, have the most ranked teams. Also, the text line rightfully pointing out that anytime there's breaking news, I will jump on it like a hungry lion before anyone else can say anything.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And you better get a promo.
You thought being lead was a joke?
Oftentimes.
You think this is a joke to me?
Oftentimes when news breaks and someone who's hosting with Stacey gets it before, you can hear in the background, no, I want it. And just
nothing
completely
makes me
railroad
angrier. Nothing
news.
Makes me angrier than just, no, it's mine.
Because
breaking news.
You know whoever it is that says it gets their voice on the promo.
I know. Promo. Now, this one's not going to be a promo because it's not
Seattle. You know what's jacked up?
Huh?
You two are going to be on the promo.
For what?
For the breaking news of Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Baker Mayfield's not going to be a promo.
They're not
gonna
make a promo.
Yeah, they're not going to make a promo from this one. But you better believe that whenever there's breaking news, I need everyone to know this. I say the initial breaking news, then I turn to my analyst, Michael Bumpus, and then we get Bump's reaction. But then I re-say it in like a perfect voice where I'm like, okay.
Totally, like, great enunciation.
Yeah, then I make sure
the
it is.
Seahawks.
Then I make sure it is perfect.
You do your Ukraine news reporter voice.
Oh, when
I do those for Seahawks.
Do those for Snapchat. The Seattle Kraken are taking on the Canadiens tonight. It's the return of number 4 overall pick, Shane Wright. All right, next type train into the station. I like this one.
The situation at Climate Pledge Arena involves Shane Wright.
I like this one. I had to do a little math, but I like it. Geno Smith having a fantastic season for Seattle. We all knew that, surprising the rest of the league, though maybe not himself. However, I think it goes down in the franchise books because this is the hype train. Geno Smith becomes the first Seahawks quarterback not named Russell Wilson to throw for 4,000 yards in a season.
How many yards do you need a game? Buck 50?
He needs about 170 per game.
170 per game? Easy. Easy work. I'm on that train. Geno, you go ahead and get it, baby. You imagine Geno Smith was for over 4,000 yards, and I didn't even think he was going to be a starter for this team. I asked for Jimmy. Nope. I asked for Baker. Nope. Maybe Drew. Get out of here. Sometimes you just got to believe what these coaches are saying, and they've been saying for a long time that Geno was the guy. Go get it, Geno.
Curtis, the hype train is that Geno Smith will be the first Seahawks quarterback not named Russell Wilson to throw for 4,000 yards in a season. Bump says, absolutely. Needs, what, $170 a game? He can totally do that. He is boarding the train. Are you joining Bump?
I will board the train as well, and I think the Seahawks running back injuries are going to have a lot to say in the yardage total that Geno Smith ends up with this season. We don't know what Ken Walker, his status is going to be for this upcoming week. You don't know if Rashad Penny's ever going to come back this season. There's a lot of question marks beyond those two. Travis Homer, DJ Dallas. Now you got Wayne Gallman, Tony Jones Jr., the film major.
Mm-hmm.
My
best bit of when Cooper Helfett was here, it would be the same thing. Male model.
Cooper Helfett. I think the running back situation is going to have a lot of influence in the number of yardage Geno Smith ends up with. So that's why I think he's going to get over 4,000.
Someone said Pouty Bump is the best. Pouty Bump is very funny.
My favorite bump is yesterday when he flamed that caller.
Can we find that cut, Curtis?
Oh, goodness.
Would we be able to find it?
Not in time.
No, for like 1:30 if we can come back after the break. I just want to hear it again. I just want to be able to hear Bump flame that listener again. It was, and he was like, we welcome all callers. Part of sports radio was argument. So it was no disrespect. Everyone was having fun, but it was amazing.
I liked Bump coming out of that segment. Told you and I, Stacey, I think you said something like, that felt kind of good.
Yeah.
It did.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. All right, that will do it for Hype Train. I thought about having my last Hype Train. We had the Baker one, so I didn't need to do it. But my last Hype Train was going to be about throw pillows and candles. I'm getting a lot of people on the Mac and Jack's text line agreeing with me, I will say, that throw pillows are fine. They serve a purpose. Their purpose is that they're
of
pretty.
These people on the Mac and Jacks text line.
They're on there. I've seen them.
I think you have your own Mac and Jacks text line you're looking at.
No, I don't know about that. I think it makes sense for a lot of people. All right, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, the Panthers have had some turnover at the quarterback spot. Does that make you believe they'll attack the Seahawks on the ground like their last three opponents did? Successfully, mind you.
Successfully.
Unfortunately.
Without quarterback turnover, they were going to attack us on the ground regardless, because that has been the recipe to success and frustration for the Seahawks team. And these guys have been throwing the ball 39% of the time the last three games. So what does that mean? Was that 61%? 61% of the time they are running that football.
I was like nodding. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep,
for sure.
You could have been like, what's that, 16? Mm-hmm, yeah.
61% of the time they are running the football. And two out of the last three games, Foreman, their running back for the Panthers, have gone over 100 yards. One of those times was against one of the best defenses in the league, the Denver Broncos. Now, you know, all you got to do is put up 11 points against the Denver Broncos, and you're probably going to win that game. They put up 23.
You put up double-digit points against the Broncos, game over.
Game over. They put up 23. So I'm looking at them because of the turnover at quarterback, right? You're not sure what Sam Darnold is going to give you. He was 11-19 his last time out, one touchdown. You don't anticipate getting much there. So what do you do with the team that is struggling at the quarterback spot?
Yep.
You run the football. 39% of the time they have ran that rock. Expect more of it. And also, I'm watching film on these guys last night. They will put big old number 60-something lineman at that fullback spot and have him lead the charge.
What?
So them linebackers, you better come up ready to fill gaps and hit.
I am very nervous about the linebackers right now, Bump. That last moment, just my heart stopped for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Second down. All right, let's go to offense. Where would you rank the Seahawks pass game 13 weeks into the season?
So I'm looking at, like, the prolific passers in this league. We talk about passing yards. It goes Kansas City, Miami, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Tampa, the Chargers, and then the Seahawks. Very respectable spot at, what, number 7? Then I look at it, I go, okay, you got the most accurate quarterback in the league, 72%. You got the second highest QB rating with Geno Smith, 108.7. His touchdown to interception ratio is around 3-4-1. And then you add in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. I think last week reminded people that you have a duo right here that cannot be slept on. Then I'm looking at the duos in the league. Like, what other teams have great duos? You got Tyreek Hill, obviously, Tyreek Hill and Waddle. You have Diggs and Davis. You also have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But I look at DK and Tyler Lockett, and I say that might put them over the top. So now I go back to, okay, the most prolific passing teams in this league, all the names I just mentioned, and I go, you know what? I would put these guys in front of the Bengals, and I would put these guys in front of the – hold on, let it load right here. I put them in front of the Bengals, and I put them in front of the Chargers. So I think they have the fourth or fifth best passing attack in the league when it comes to numbers. When it comes to taking care of the football and being efficient, number one or number two in this league. Put some respect on this passing game's name.
Third down. Pete Carroll preaches you can't win games in the first, second, and third quarter. Why do you think this week is the exception to the rule? I'm actually very interested in this answer.
It's different this week.
Why?
I kind of hinted towards it in first down because quarterback situation, all right? You better be having explosive plays during the run game if you are going to lean on the run game like that. But the Carolina Panthers only averaged 7 points per game in the first half. All right, the Hawks are averaging 13 points
Cardinals
per game.
Cardinals over here.
Cardinals, sorry. I said Cardinals?
No. I was saying okay. The Cardinals just like that, too. Like, they really can't do much.
Yeah. Carolina, 7 points per game in the first half. The Hawks, 13. The Panthers have had first halves of 3-0-0-3. Now, the Hawks have been shut out the first half before 2-0 twice against the Niners and the Bucks, but they bounced back. Right, if you can get ahead on these guys, it's going to be hard for them to get back in the game. You're going to ask Sam Darnold to throw the ball 35, 40 times? I think not. If he is doing that, you are clearly behind, and you're putting pressure on this guy. Now, if they keep it close, here's where it gets tricky. In the second half, the Hawks are averaging 12 points per game. The Panthers are averaging 11 points per game in that second half. So, yeah, you can win it in the fourth quarter, but you can bury these dudes and make them play a game they don't want to play in the first half, and you can go up 1-2 scores. 2 scores preferably going into halftime. So, yes, Pete Carroll, you can't win it in the first. You can't win in the second. You can't win in the third. But this week, you can win in the first half.
Oh, I really hope. Can you win it in the first week? Yes. Yes, this week you can. Please do.
Come on.
Fourth down. this news. The Seahawks have the fourth easiest remaining schedule. Does it make you optimistic about their playoff chances?
Now, Mr. Curtis Rogers told me that. Where'd you get that stat from, Curtis?
He made it up.
No, Brady Henderson of ESPN tweeted out that the Seahawks have the fourth easiest remaining schedule, or one of the easiest remaining schedules of any team. But you look at the remaining schedule, I mean, you've got games against the Niners, the Chiefs, the Jets, all three teams firmly in the playoff hunt. How can that be?
So that's my point. I'm looking at this schedule and I go, I don't feel better about this. Like, you have to take care of the Carolina Panthers, and then what? You got the best defense in the league. The Niners have one of the best offenses in the league, the Kansas City Chiefs. And then you have the wild card New York Jets. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. This defense has been playing well. Offense is up and down, smiles and frowns. And then you end with the Los Angeles Rams, a team you barely beat even though they are banged up. So I'm looking at this and I go, all right, well, they're taking into account that these guys were at home most of these games. I do not care. I do not feel like, oh, yeah, fourth easiest. We should be good to go. You know how this league goes. Every single week, you got to prove it. The Panthers were only 3.5 point.
I feel sweaty after four down territory today. Like, I'm nervous. I don't like this big guy they have as their lead back. I don't like them potentially, you know, coming back late in the game. I don't like the NFC South record against Seattle. I should have felt better today, Bum.
Hey, this one thing we do here is we keep it 100 and keep it real.
All right? Keeping it too real.
We got to win this week. Finish the season strong. Come on, Gino.
All right, let's see what's on tap.
This is What's on Tap with Bump and Stacey, brought to you by Dick's Driving. So, folks, what's on tap?
The Seattle Kraken are taking on the Canadiens at Climate Pledge tonight, 7 p.m. Also, the return of Shane Wright. Will he get his first goal against the team that passed over him at first overall in the NHL draft? We will see. Also, if you enjoy the show, make sure you're subscribed to the Bump and Stacey podcast. So if you've got a work meeting or miss an interview, no problem. The show's available on your phone an hour after we end here, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. Please rate and review if you do subscribe. You are listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Looking ahead to Seahawks Panthers next. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we've had three stories from three NFC West teams. Quick roundup here. Breaking news a few minutes ago via Adam Schefter. Jimmy Garoppolo may not be out for the season after all. It was feared that he'd need surgery to repair a broken foot, but he doesn't need surgery after all. So with a smooth rehab, he could return in 7 to 8 weeks. If you guys are doing your playoff math, that's around the divisional round or the conference championship. Earlier, I don't know, maybe it's possible. Players always come back early in the NFL, I feel, Bump. But
nah, Purdy going to be balling. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah?
Purdy
really?
Gonna be balling. Jimmy, chill.
Also breaking earlier this afternoon, the Rams have claimed quarterback Baker Mayfield off of waivers from the Panthers. Since then, Schefter has tweeted, quote, asked if Baker Mayfield has a chance to play Thursday night for the Rams. One source just texted, there's a shot. Rams are taking on the Raiders in 2 days. No way. No.
What does that say about the quarterbacks you have on your roster right now? There's a shot
that you'd have a guy who doesn't know your playbook out there instead of them.
There must be similar language or something like that, because it's hard to come in and just learn a playbook in a few days and go at it.
That's pretty quick.
That would be impressive.
All right. And non-quarterback news, but still NFC West news. I'm doing this roundup. This Seahawks, this was also earlier this morning, have signed free agent running back Wayne Gallman, which you were like, yeah, you never know. I like the way that you summarize, like, I know you have a lot of injuries at running back right now here in Seattle, but sometimes a guy just works out for the short term, and that's what they need.
So what you need, one game. You need one game, 15 carries, yeah, one touchdown, around 100 yards. And at running back, you can find that every now and then. So is it going to happen? Who knows? But I'm optimistic.
Unrelated to all of this, we take callers every single Monday. Sometimes on Fridays, we'll do callers if there's news or some fun stuff for the weekend. But we always do callers in the 1 p.m. hour on Mondays after Seahawks games. So we did that yesterday. And our question for callers was basically, can they get to the playoffs with this defense? And also, what's wrong with the defense? And Curtis, do you have the...
Oh, I've got.
Oh, all right, so we had one caller.
Sorry, Mama.
We had one caller call in, and he starts saying the linebackers are issues, and Bump wasn't having it.
He's a bust. I'm sorry. This defense is going nowhere.
You are crazy.
Those, you know, I am sorry, man.
Uchenna's a bust.
Is a cream puff.
He's got nine sacks. He leads this team. He's the only guy who gets after the quarterback.
You know it. The Eagles are going to march down on our
bust
so badly.
Where are you calling from, Philly? Where are you calling from? Texas? Where are you calling from? Uchenna's a bust. Hey, I want to know how your fantasy football team is going. You don't know talent when you see one. You calling Uchenna the World Super Bust. How dare you? Jordan Brooks is third in the league when it comes to tackles. How dare you call these dudes a bust?
The fantasy football. First of all, I love where you calling from. Philly? Dallas, what kind of defense are you protecting here? You don't know talent when it stares you in the face. How's your fantasy team doing? That was great. But the reason I bring that up, not only is it was a really funny caller exchange, but I am a little concerned, Bump. Yeah. Not about the linebackers, who I think
you
Jordan
sure
Brooks.
Uchenna's a bust? Are you sure?
I do not think Uchenna, team leader in sacks, is a bust, nor do I think Jordan Brooks is a bust. And Cody Barton's been playing okay. I am concerned about the defense against the Panthers. Why? The Panthers are a horrible team, but the defense has been struggling. And weird stat of the day, the Seahawks have been swept by the NFC South.
Yeah, that's scary. Atlanta, here's the thing. At the beginning of the season, you don't really know who teams are.
Yeah.
And everyone's healthy. You get your best shot. Coordinators can call games freely because there's not a lot of film out there. So that Atlanta Falcons win, I say, okay. They ran the football all over this team. Boom. All right, now we get to the New Orleans Saints. That's where it gets a little scary. Taysom Hill, who gets paid $100 million every 2 years, made his money during that game. Let me click. Let me remind you guys what Taysom Hill did to this football team. God. All right, he threw for a touchdown. He ran for 112 and three touchdowns. And then I want to say, okay, no, he didn't have a receiving touchdown. He did almost everything you could to our defense. And that's scary. And then we go to Munich. Love Munich. I can't tell you how much I enjoy Germany, minus the game. And the Hawks almost come back and beat Tom Brady and the Bucks. You look at what this division is. It's the worst division in football. You got the Bucks at 6-6, Atlanta 5-8, Carolina 4-8, New Orleans 4-9. I say all that to say it don't matter. It does not matter. The Carolina Panthers have been able to run the football two out of the last three games. We know that is where they're going to attack us. They throw the ball 39% of the time. That means they're running that thing the majority of the time. I've learned, if there's anything I've learned this year, is to not to sleep on anybody.
Yeah.
And I will not sleep on these Panthers. And because you mentioned their defense, they got some guys on defense that will get after you. So I'm not sleeping on nobody.
I mean, was it them against the Bucks that like dominated Tom Brady in Tampa Bay that gave him headaches all day? I feel like it might have been the Panthers. I want to say it was like 20-3. It was some kind of embarrassing win.
They beat them 21-3.
21-3.
Yeah.
So you know that any team, it's any given Sunday. This is just adding continued context to what you were saying. When they took on the Falcons, were 0-2 entering that game.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle was what, 1-1, 2-0? I don't know. But
1-1.
But they entered the game facing a Falcons offense that had scored at least 26 per game. So the Falcons were finding the end zone. They were just giving up yardage and losing in heartbreaking ways. But you could see the logic of like, okay, be careful. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it was, well, it's Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady and the Bucs. You never know what's going to happen. And then with the Saints, it was, well, Alvin Kamara's back. It's his first game back. Mm-hmm. And you've got Taysom Hill. What's this going to be? I could see a reason looking at each team to go, okay, watch out for those guys. The Panthers, to me, are the weakest of the bunch.
Yeah, they are. They are. But that's the NFL. You can look at every NFL team and make some case. Who's the weakest team in the league to you right now?
Houston.
Okay, I can't make a case.
How about Chicago? Chicago has the number 2 overall pick right now.
Yeah, they got the number. Yeah.
What's another team?
Okay, minus them. Chicago, they got a quarterback who can beat you with his legs, right?
Yeah.
Every now and then he's going to get hot. He's going to find a way to win a ball game. For most teams, you can figure something out to say, all right, there's a reason to respect this team. And you look at the Panthers, man, Brian Burns. That's a reason right there. This guy has 10 sacks, one of the league leaders. He will get after the quarterback. And we've seen over the past couple weeks, like, the offensive line has had some issues here and there protecting the quarterback, right? You throw some stunts at him. You catch Abe Lucas when he's sick, coming off a mm-hmm. sickness or whatnot. Every time there's a perfect storm for a team who's not supposed to beat you to get her done. And honestly, the Seahawks have overachieved this year. So when you overachieve, you got to overachieve every single week, week in, week out. Special teams got to be on point, offense, defense. And if something slips just a little bit, you allow teams to hang around. You allow teams to beat you. So that's what makes me respect teams even more.
Yeah.
I remember the days watching the Hawks being like, psh, automatic win. These guys end up, what, 12-4. We're looking good into the playoffs. That's just not the team that we have this year. A talented team, but a team that isn't far and beyond better than mediocre teams.
Yeah, you're not going to be favored in every matchup. You have weaknesses that can be exploited by any team, but also some strengths like the passing offense that could let you hang with almost anyone. From the 509, but Bump, you were talking about the Panthers. What team hasn't run all over this defense? That's what's fascinating, because for a minute there, some teams weren't. Yeah. I do think the Chargers able to run on them.
No, Eckler went nuts in the pass game.
Yeah.
And he only ran for like 50-some yards.
For a minute there, for about a four-week span, teams weren't running on him.
Yeah.
So what'd they do?
And we talked about this yesterday,
Yeah.
They played the Cardinals twice. They played the Giants and the Chargers. Now,
at the time, the Giants were the number two rushing offense.
Yeah, so all wins are quality. Let me say that. But that was the most quality win out of those four, because you're going up against Saquon Barkley. At that time was considered like an MVP candidate and one of the best in the league when it comes to running the ball. So that's where you hang your hat on. You're saying, okay, we did this to Saquon, and then you back it up with Eckler, who does a little bit of everything. You stopped him in the run, but he tore you up in the pass game. What's the difference? I think that guys are just not playing as disciplined as these coach would like them to play. It's not like they changed their defense.
Well, and there's not personnel they're missing. It's not like, oh, you had Jamal in that one and now you don't, right? Like, I'm thinking if there's personnel you had that you don't anymore, but I think you have all your guys.
You have everyone you had during that stretch, especially on that defensive line. The one game where you could look at maybe a coaching decision was against the Bucks, thinking that they're going to throw the ball 60 times. You sit Monet and LJ Collier, they end up running the ball. You're like, we just didn't have the right guys out there. But adjustments, watch film, do your job. They'll be fine, but the Panthers can run that rock.
All right, Seattle Sports has your chance to win tickets to see the Seahawks host the San Francisco 49ers on December 15th. That is Thursday Night Football at Lumen Field. For info and a direct link to enter the sweepstakes, text the word Thursday to our new text line, 866-979-3776. Again, those are for a chance to enter to win Thursday Night Football tickets between the 49ers and Seahawks here at Lumen Field. Text the word Thursday to 866-979-3776. It'll send you a link to enter. This hour of Bump and Stacy is brought to you by Mazda of Everett, and we need your questions. Wrapping things up with what I need to know, any question you have, text it now to the Mac and Jex text line. Again, same number, 866-979-3776. Your questions, our answers next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in now, any question you have, to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. I said any question, and I meant it. First one for What I Need to Know: what's the worst thing about the holiday season? The worst thing about the holiday season.
All the money you got to spend.
See, that wasn't
my first
answer. It's
expensive. You know what's crazy? Holiday season, it's my birthday, my father-in-law's birthday.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then getting to January, it's my anniversary.
Oh, man.
And then into February, you got Valentine's Day and my wife's birthday.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be broke.
It's hard on your boy.
See, I don't have any birthdays around this time. Mostly, and I like buying gifts and wrapping them. I love the holidays, but crowds.
Oh yeah.
Yesterday I went to return something that I got as a present. Not to Zara, but I got as a present. It was from a Target, right? So I'm just popping in. I'm like, no one will be here. It's like 3 p.m. Long line.
Everyone's
all the way to the door. I was like, when can I come here when it's not going to be jam-packed full of people? The answer is never.
March.
You just have to wait.
March.
March. yep. What I need to know, if Seattle beats San Francisco at the end of the season and they end up with the same record, who wins the West?
So, San Fran. Oh, no.
Well,
you got to look at common opponents,
so
right?
So here's the tiebreakers in order. Head-to-head, let's say it's even. Win-loss tied percentage in games within the division. So if the Seahawks beat more divisional opponents, so if the Seahawks beat the Rams and they sweep the Cardinals, they might have a better in-division record. So next would be within the division. Then it's common games. Then it's play the games within the NFC. Then it's strength of victory. Then it's strength of schedule. Then it's combined ranking. And then it goes to points scored, points allowed, common games, net points, net touchdowns. And my absolute favorite that it's never gone to, coin toss.
So what you're saying is I sit back and let the good people on ESPN figure it all out for me.
Yes. Yeah. Do you think the Seahawks just got lucky with Geno, or did they really know what they were doing?
I think they got lucky and they knew what they were doing. They picked him up because they needed a backup quarterback who'd been around the league. This guy is set behind Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers. Like, look, all right, let's see what he does. And then as he sits around for three or four seasons, you listen to him speak when it comes to film. You watch him at practice. He understands your playbook. And you start thinking, you know, we might have something here. Mm-hmm. Then you give him a chance, and he balls out. So I don't think they thought he would be this good, though. So they got lucky, and they knew what he was doing.
253, if the Hawks beat the 49ers and the Chiefs, how real does the Geno MVP talk get?
The Niners and the Chiefs?
And the Chiefs.
Okay, are we assuming that they just beat everybody else, too?
Let's assume that they have just beat the Chiefs on Christmas Eve and the talk is ratcheting up. Is there Geno MVP talk?
I think there has to be.
I think so, too.
There has to be.
Because I'm guessing it's not going to be because of the defense. If it is, fantastic, but...
So if they beat the Chiefs and the Niners, is that what they said? So mm-hmm. they win the next three games. Mm-hmm. That means they're 10-5 mm-hmm. with a chance to go 12-2. Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Yep. What I need to know. Why is it? Oh, it seems like the Mariners are able to attract elite pitchers, i.e. Ray and Castillo, but can't close the deal with big bats. What's the deal?
What's the deal?
Well, I will say that Ray was free agency. Castillo was via trade.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so there's no really.
I think that they do struggle sometimes with attracting via free agency big names in general.
Yeah, maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's the identity of the organization. I think that's changing, though. I clearly think this could become more of a destination, especially if you have a good year this year.
Curtis, do you know offhand the biggest trade under DePoto that the Mariners have made for a bat?
For a bat?
Because I would say Castillo is the biggest trade for an arm and biggest trade in general. But they haven't, have they made any big trades to bring in a bat?
Yeah, the biggest one I think is the Gene Segura, Mitch Haniger trade.
Yeah.
Where they sent Ketel Marte, which stinks because Marte turned out to be the best player in that trade. But that was, you know, quite a few years ago now. I think that was, what, going into the 2018 season or 2016-2018 season. But it's been quite a while since they've gone out and traded for a big bat.
Yeah. What I need to know, what's your favorite Christmas song? There's a lot of choices.
The one my daughter sings all the time. What's Rocking that? Around.
That's your favorite?
Christmas. Yeah, she loves that song.
Curtis? You can't think of a favorite Christmas song. I have like five right now coming to mind.
They all.
All I Want for Christmas same. Is You.
Mariah Carey version?
Yes, Mariah Carey version. This Christmas.
Temptations version. Listen to that one. I know you heard that one.
Okay.
Temptations.
Temptations version of This Christmas. Literally every Christmas song.
Literally every Christmas song.
They're all tied for first.
They're all.
Did you do Christmas recitals
first.
In elementary?
Did I do what?
Christmas recitals?
I did a Christmas pageant. It was for Sunday school, though. I was an angel. I was the letter C.
I think everybody ends up being an angel or like an animal at the manger, like a lion or a sheep or
no, we
a
didn't
donkey.
Do we
I was
didn't
one
do
of the
that
wise
one.
Was wise men.
Was you were one
yeah.
of the wise men,
yeah.
or shepherd.
Yeah.
Someone said, "What if it's Hernandez? Teoscar Hernandez."
What if what is?
I mean, I would hope so because then that means Teoscar Hernandez is potentially like an all-star or an MVP candidate this season.
Yeah.
That'd be a great, I would love it if that became the best bat they've ever traded for.
I like this one from the 206. What current non-running back on the Seahawks would you like to see carry the rock in an emergency situation this week?
Non-running back.
Tariq I'm going to actually Woolen. Take out a fullback as well. I'm going to take
Tariq.
Out
Bilal. Tariq Woolen, 426 speed.
You'd have to hit him on
no.
a fly sweep. He's too
yeah,
tall, running
yeah,
high.
Yeah, he can't run through people.
I don't care. Get him out in
unless
open space.
It's like the tiniest hole and he just literally
get
slides
him out in open
through.
Space.
I want to see Uncle Will
Tariq,
on the goal line.
No, let me add. Tariq Woolen is who I would want to see in a receiver for like some random snap.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see who?
Uncle Will Disney on the goal line. Let him fall forward. Give it to him.
Is DK too big?
DK's too tall.
Too tall.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Penny Hart would be the most effective. 206
as Quandre. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puna Ford. 360 says, what about Puna Ford? These are all really good ones. Al Woods at fullback. 23 personnel with Al Woods at fullback.
I like it.
I love it, but let's hope Puna is the other running back in that case. All right, you guys, that will do it for us today. That will do it for What I Need to Know. For Michael Bumpus, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.